This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Saturday edition of our program. The Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Our show is always brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one, Cochran. Ride in style and go one better. Cochran.com. Shendarovich, Shendarovich and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. And Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Boy, it's a busy weekend and things are starting to perk up. First, I should tell you, I am doing this show today from Nemacolin and Woodlands Resort because we have a very special day for the members and guests out here with their golf academy, which is state-of-the-art. Lee Trevino, the six-time major winner, will be here. I have a nice Q&A coming up with him later tonight. He's going to mingle with the guests and the members and a lot of special activities. If you ever get a chance, come up to the Nemacolin Golf Academy. It is state of the art. In the meantime, well, since I brought that up, we should tell you the Masters is a week away. So if you have any thoughts about the Masters going into this one, let me know at 412-928-9370. That is the number of the fan hotline. Again, 412-928-9370. But look at what's happening in the NHL. The Pittsburgh Penguins, who appeared to be, you know, long shots at best getting into the playoffs just a couple of weeks ago, have taken full advantage of the fact that all these teams around them have been mired in mediocrity. That's exactly what's happened. They have invited the Penguins back into this. And, of course, the Penguins have won three straight games in regulation on the road, no less, at the Rangers, at the Devils, which to me was the most incredible game of these three games. And then at the Capitals, they were down 3-1 to the Devils in the third period. Normally, that is just, time to put it away because they don't do well when they're down and they don't score a lot of goals playing that team in that building. But suddenly an eruption of five goals, two by Crosby, two by Malkin, and the Penguins, another nice deflection by Ricard Raquel. Next thing you know, they're in the winner's circle there. And now, because teams have just absolutely gone terribly bad ahead of them, they're right back in the playoff picture. As we look at it today, the Penguins will be hosting Tampa Bay today. That's not an easy assignment. Tampa Bay has pretty much locked up the first wild card, but they have their eyes set on the third seed of their division because Toronto is just 2 points ahead of them. And those are the next two games for the Penguins. It will not be easy. Tampa at home here today at 1:00. And then at Toronto Monday night, both teams have a lot to play for there. But as we enter here, this chase for the playoffs of the Penguins, again, they're 81 points. They're just 1 point back of the Capitals and Red Wings, 2 points back of the Flyers. And what have these teams done? Well, yesterday was a great day for hockey in Pittsburgh, even though they did not play, because the Rangers beat Detroit, another team right ahead of them. And Detroit's fallen apart here. The Capitals, they had a 2-0 lead over Carolina, but Jake Guentzel got two goals. And next thing you know, this game was 4-2 Carolina, so the Caps lose. And then Buffalo lost, or beat the Flyers, I should say, 4-2. So the Flyers have gone 0-4-2. They've lost six straight games. The Capitals have lost five straight games. And when you look at Detroit, they have one win in their last seven games. All of this has opened the door for the Penguins, who have been red hot, led by not only Crosby, of course, who has 15 points in six games, but Can't say enough about Alex Nedeljkovic. 5-0-1 in his last six. 934 save percentage, 197. Goals against, those are the best numbers of the last 2 weeks of any goaltender in hockey. And he will be in net, I would assume, today against Andrei Vasilevsky, you would think also, for Tampa Bay. The Lightning have been playing well, there's no question. And Nikita Kucherov, specifically, has a lot going on in this remaining five or six games for them, because he is right now leading the Ross Trophy, 133 points. That's how many he has on 43 goals. Right behind him is Nathan MacKinnon, who's been just going nuts. He's all the way up to 130 ahead of Connor McDavid at 125. So a big game for the Penguins, who have got to take care of business. And as long as they continue to win, especially when it comes to regulation, that's a big tiebreaker for them. And they'll have a situation where they can win that with all the teams involved with them. Philly, Washington, Detroit, and even the Islanders. The Islanders are just a couple of points ahead. The Islanders have taken advantage of these teams free-falling as well. They'll be home to Nashville tonight. So a big game, a big night of hockey coming up. Like to hear from you and what your take is. A lot of people had them written off. If they get in, man, it could be tough. It could be as a third seed, which means they would take on the Rangers, who still have hopes to win the President's Cup, President's Trophy. Or if not, then you're going to go into the wild card situation there. And that will be interesting who it may be. It could be Boston. So, and the Penguins have Boston later in the season as well. 412-928-9370 is that number to call. And the Pirates, as you heard Donnie Football just talking about, Donnie Football becomes Donnie Baseball on Saturdays, but they had a tough loss yesterday, certainly trying to win the home opener in front of a sellout crowd. But the Orioles, a very good team. I've been telling everybody for the last 3 weeks, watch out for this team. They are loaded with young people. They got more in their system. You know, they went out and got Corbin Burns to add to a rotation. You saw Grayson Rodriguez yesterday. He was terrific, and he has been for them with six strikeouts and 6 2/3 innings. But the biggest takeaway on this game yesterday was Jared Jones. Second game in a row where he has looked really confident, poised on the mound. Joe Block, the Pirate announcer, has put up a post, which was interesting. Swing and misses over the first two games of a major league career. StatCast has been going back, you know, since 1988. They've been keeping track of this stuff. And in two games, first two of his major league career, Jared Jones has 43 swings and misses. The only other person who's tied him with that is Shohei Ohtani. That's it. The guy looks ready to take on anyone out there. He's got a lot of passion, a lot of emotion. I love to see that with a young guy. He's confident, not cocky, but confident. You got to be confident on the hill, and he is. And yesterday, seven more strikeouts. So he has 17 strikeouts in his first two games. Good location. He gave up two home runs. One barely got out. There were five home runs hit yesterday. The Pirates had a couple also, Cruz and Triolo. But, you know, they're 6-2 now, and they got a tough assignment again today because the Orioles are going to send out the big Tyler Wells, who's like almost 6'9", 260 pounds. He'll be going against Bailey Falter. And you wonder how long Falter will continue to be in the rotation if he has another bad outing. 412-928-9370. We'll get into that. Also, it's a big weekend of basketball. Last night we saw the Final Four of the women in Cleveland, Ohio. And one game that was not much of a game, South Carolina, continues to be undefeated as they beat NC State. And then Iowa, and everybody was focused on this one. It was Caitlin Clark against Paige Beckers and company. And Iowa came away with a 71-69 win. There was a controversial offensive call for a moving screen late in the game that really kind of put this one away, although not one foul call late in the game is going to determine how this happened. UConn had a 12-point lead, and they couldn't handle it. Iowa was as sloppy as they've been throughout this entire postseason, yet they overcame that. 21 points for Caitlin Clark, who missed her first 7 3-point shots, but then she got it together. So it's going to be Iowa and South Carolina in the ladies' final. That'll be on Sunday at 3 p.m. That'll be a rematch of a game played last year in the Final Four where Iowa beat them to get to the finals. NC State and Purdue tonight. This is in Glendale, Arizona. It's the Final Four for the men. UConn will take on Alabama in the second one. So NC State, this is a battle of the big man. You know, you got DJ Burns, who's got everyone, and as one of those guys that people want to watch. He's big. He's 6'8". He weighs about 300 pounds. He's in the middle, and he has been really quick with his feet. He's a really good player. This team's on a roll, man. They got in, and they haven't lost. They've won 10 straight. It looked like their season would come crashing to an end in the ACC tournament. They trailed Louisville. They got it together. They won five games to get here, automatic bid. Other than that, they wouldn't have gotten in. And they've continued that, reminiscent of UConn back in the day when, you know, Pitt was looked at as the team that was going to beat UConn that day. They didn't. Kemba Walker company goes on a run, and they win a championship. So you have Zach Edey, National Player of the Year, against DJ Burns in that one. But the first game will be UConn and Alabama. Well, I'm not sure which one is first. They got a doubleheader tonight. Anyway, UConn is just on a roll. Danny Hurley and company try to make it back-to-back. Alabama scores a lot of points. Interesting strategies going into that one tonight as well. So we got a very busy weekend here, and I'd love to hear from you. It's 412-928-9370. We got the Penguins in Tampa Bay. I'd like to hear what you think about the Penguins. Do you now think they may get in, or is this schedule a little bit too tough for them, given the fact they're going to have to win a lot of these games? They got Tampa today, at Toronto, Detroit, Nashville, Boston, and the New York Islanders. It could very well come down to the final game of the year at Long Island against the New York Islanders. Who knew a couple of weeks ago? But they have been playing well, and they've taken advantage of other teams collapsing around them. Quite frankly, the fact that they're playing well, that's fine. It would not, they'd still be in the same precarious spot if these other teams hadn't crashed and burned. And they are crashing and burning, none worse than Philadelphia. The Flyers are 0-4-2 in their last six. They have just completely invited the Penguins, the Islanders, and everyone else back into the playoff hunt. We'll take your calls when I come back. It's 412-928-9370. You can also hit me up on Twitter at KDPomp. We got the number one Cochran Sports Showdown tomorrow night, 11:35 KDK. Lots to get into on that program, but I want to hear from you next, right here on the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah, it's a chilly Saturday, but hey, things are getting better. We're heading into spring pretty soon. Temperatures next week are going to be higher. Got the weather at the end of this hour for you. In the meantime, it's Masters weekend next weekend. So if you have a thought about who may win, there are a lot of great choices. What's going to happen there? Feel free to call 412-928-9370. As I said, I'll be hanging with a guy today who's won six majors, Lee Trevino, up here at Nemacolin Resort as part of their golf academy. They have a very special event for members and guests, and you can come up here if you're a member or a guest and be treated to it. It's pretty amazing what they do up here. And if you want to improve your game, that's a great place to go. Ask for Chris Anderson. He's the man in charge. In the meantime, let's go to the phone lines at 412-928-9370. We have Gus in Beaver County. Hey, Gus, how you doing today?
Every day is a great day for hockey, Bob, and belated late Happy Easter blessings to you and your family. And, Bob, let me be the first to wish you a happy birthday coming up soon.
Thanks very much, Gus. Too much information there.
Hey, Bob, we're very glad it's a long season in hockey. I still don't have my hopes way up that the Pens are going to get in. I'm very fearful of the schedule they have coming up. There's a lot of really good teams, especially looking at Nashville and the Islanders. The Islanders really scare me. Going back to the Pierre LaRouche and Eddie Westphal days when the Pens were up 3-0, they've just been a team that has had the Penguins' number. But I'm very encouraged what I see, the way the Pens are playing. They're doing a lot of good things out there. They're helping the Nedeljkovic out a lot, and he's helping them out a lot. Sid Crosby, what's there to say about him? He's carrying the team on his back. And there's a lot of young guys that are stepping up too, Bob. There's a lot of encouraging things happening.
There's no question, Gus. And the thing about Crosby, 15 points in six games, he has done that. Once again, 19 straight years, averaging a point a game, only he and Gretzky. It's pretty amazing that we've watched this throughout the two decades. But, you know, the goaltending has really been the key. Nedeljkovic has been terrific. 5-0-1, as I said before, a .934 save percentage. They need that, especially when you're this far back in the standings. But, again, it wouldn't have happened unless all these other teams just collapse around them. And that's an invitation. And they've taken it, to the point now where they can control their own destiny, which is something I never thought I'd be saying, Gus, about this team 2 weeks ago. But they're in that position where they can actually do that.
There you go, Bob. And you know what's very encouraging? The play of Pierre Joseph, the play of Drew O'Connor, Pustinen, he's showing that he could play. Michael Bunning is looking like he's fitting in. Geno Malkin's rejuvenated. Riley Smith is getting his game together. Ricard Raquel. I mean, there's a lot of pluses out there. I felt for Chris Letang a few weeks ago. He was struggling. He looks like he's coming around a little bit too. But it's an amazing thing to see. And I never give up. You always got to keep the faith. You got to believe. That was an old Penguins motto many years ago. You got to believe.
Thank you for the call, Gus. I appreciate it. But, yeah, you do. And if you look at NHL more than any sport, if you get hot at a certain time and you carry that in, well, we've seen it now with NC State in the Final Four. The fact that they were on the, you know, on life support, quite frankly, their coach could have been fired, but it triggered a new two-year deal once he won the ACC tournament. And then he gets on a roll here now, and they've just gone right through people. Yet Oakland at PPG Paints Arena had a chance to end their season in overtime. That's how tough it is to get to this point. But that's a good example. You look at the St. Louis Blues several years ago with Craig Berube, who came in, and it looked like they were going to be – they were in last place in February. And then Jordan Binnington gets called up. Next thing you know, they're on a roll. They win a Stanley Cup. Nobody saw that coming. And, you know, the Penguins, if they get in, they could be very dangerous. And if you're them, you got to think, okay, if we do, we're playing on house money right now, because there's no way – that many people, and certainly the odds makers, thought they'd get into this situation just a few weeks ago. But the invitation has been extended by these struggling teams, and the Penguins and Islanders have taken advantage. Next destination for our call is New Jersey, and may come down to a game on Long Island, by the way, between the Islanders and Penguins. We have Ryan in New Jersey who joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Bob. Enjoy Super Mex there at Nemacolin. That sounds pretty cool. But
yeah, anyway, Mary Mex. He's 84 now, you know, and he's still going strong.
I can't believe that. So I caught the game Tuesday night, or was it Tuesday or Wednesday? Whatever day, in Jersey, in Newark.
Tuesday.
Almost packed it in there, 3-1 early in the third. That if it hadn't scored that power play goal, it's heading for the doors. Anyway, somehow these fools had to sweep the week. Somehow they did it. I can't explain it. But I'll tell you what, the one thing I'm going to miss when this era is over, nobody knows how to scream obscenities after a goal in a quiet room with 20,000 people like that Russian does. It's amazing. Every time I've heard it on the road, which has been probably, 50 to 100 games at this point, it's something to behold. It's like the steps outside of D.C. Like, you know, it's just, it's one of those signature moments you can't mention due to FCC rules that is just amazing. So I have to say, it's a fun ride. You know, if they get in, they're probably dead meat. But, you know, at this point, with the age of those guys, you just take it and see what happens. And it is.
Why would you say dead meat, Ryan? Just because they're a team that has so much experience and they shouldn't even be in this position. To me, that makes them very dangerous. And the Rangers know all too well how difficult they can be if they end up with
three. Right, and the Rangers is who you want, because they don't. The thing about the Pens all year, and they haven't been dominated by the quote unquote elite teams like Tampa. Now Tampa's on a roll; they're steamrolling people. But they're an older, slower team as well. If they get their heads out of their butts and don't have, and it doesn't take them 25 minutes to start this game, I like their chances of taking this one. They got to take one out of the next two. What these teams losing ahead of them does is allow the Pens losses down the stretch. They didn't have any wiggle room before last night, really, on losses. They got to win four of the last six, but you're not going to beat Boston, Nashville, Tampa Bay, and Toronto probably. They needed the padding to get a loss or two.
Right.
So I think that's what they kind of gained last night. They really probably need to get this one from Tampa today and then, you know, roll the dice against Toronto. They need to beat Nashville, and they have to beat the two head-to-heads in regulation. That's a huge order. You know, four or five out of six this time of the year with old legs is a huge order. But they do control their own destiny. There's no question. The Islanders have 15 loser points. They're not beating anybody on a tiebreaker. The Flyers are in free fall because they just were playing above their heads all year. So what we always expected to happen is happening. So they really, really, really have – I mean, if you can't get these guys with Crosby, Malkin, whatever, to just gut up and get them there now, and I know that's asking a lot at their age – then you're not in the right sport here, because they should have the advantage. That's the
right
way it is.
So. I got you, Ryan. Thanks for the call, man. I always look forward to hearing from you. And you're right. The Penguins have the tiebreaker over all these teams because they have regulation wins. Islanders, too many ties and too many overtime losses and all this stuff. And regulation wins is the first tiebreaker. So the Penguins do have that. All they have to do is tie one of these teams, either third in the division or wild card, whatever the case may be, and they would get the nod. I think they'd be a very dangerous team. And if Nedeljkovic can keep this going, now that's a lot to expect. He's been, like a lot of goaltenders, it's a tough business. One day you're up, one day you're down. He's been with three teams now. Looked terrific with Carolina. And then he goes to Detroit, and it doesn't look good at all, to the point where he signs a one-year deal here for less than $2 million, and now all of a sudden he's taking it to another level. Tristan Jarry may never get a shot here down the road, but if he does, he's going to have to put up that same sort of performance because that's what he's expected to do, and he hasn't done it before in critical situations. Nedeljkovic is doing it right now. Back to the lines at 412-928-9370. We got Bert in Ross Traver. Hello, Bert. How are you?
Hi, Bob. Yeah, you know, I agree with the position that it's never great when the referees are involved in the outcome of a game, and it's unfortunate when that happens. But I saw the Iowa game last night, and at the end of the game, there was the controversial illegal screen call, mm-hmm. and I watched the replay, and the player from the other team. She clearly did not have her feet planted. She moved into the Iowa player, and she seemed to use an elbow point technique when she was sitting in the screen. And all that is really just all that adds up to a good call by the referee, even though it may have led to the outcome.
You know, Bert, it's interesting. A lot of people were critical of that call, and all I'll say about it is, technically by the book, she did not have her position planted. She was moving. This is Edwards from UConn. But there was an embellishment on the part of the Iowa player. She sold that very well and got the call. Normally in that situation, I don't think I would have made that call. Technically, it was, I think, the right call, but it's a difficult call to make in those situations.
Well, you know, they always said Muhammad Ali used to con the judges, you know. But to me, it's a big part of sports. I don't consider it a flop, but my problem with it more than anything else was what appeared to be the use of an elbow point technique when she moved into the Iowa player. And I don't think that they should tolerate that under any circumstances. I mean, when you turn your forearm into an elbow point, that's a dangerous thing.
Yeah. All right, Bert, thanks. I appreciate that. And I was in because of it. Actually, you know, UConn shouldn't have anything to complain about because they had a 12-point lead. Iowa had made 12 turnovers in the first half. And they were sloppy. UConn couldn't put them away. And I will also say, I thought there was an offensive call against Caitlin Clark, which was not called. She went into the lane and she pushed, clearly made contact with a defender and pushed her away to get a jump shot in the lane. That should have been an offensive call, but this happens in these kinds of games. Eric in North Huntington, before we go to break, Eric joins us on the hotline. What's up, Eric?
Hey, what's up, Bob? You caught me off guard here, man. I'm in sheets right now.
Oh, good place to be.
Yeah, it was really
good coffee over there.
Yeah, good coffee. My first question is about Jarry. Do you think he'll be there next year?
I do. I think they have. I think Mike Sullivan, more than anybody, has a lot of faith in him. I thought he said it. You know, he's not. The Nedeljkovic has played his way into where he should get the starts, all of them down the road. But Jarry, I thought, had a better year than what most people thought.
I just believe Nedeljkovic is, like, really outplaying him. He's incredible.
He is. But I've seen Nedeljkovic good and bad, as I have Jarry good and bad. They've committed to Jarry. Would he be back? They have an insurance policy. Joel Blomqvist down there, Eric. He's a good young player,
like
Gustafsson, who they let go about, you know, and they traded him to Ottawa. Now he's in Minnesota playing with Fleury. But, I don't know. I mean, it's a nice thing to have because if you do want to trade him, there's a contract signed and maybe more than what people want, but he's a two-time All-Star, still young enough to be somebody in this league. And I'm not going to say that he won't get another chance this season. If he does, he better play at a level that's commensurate with his salary.
Or he's gone.
Again, we'll see. I don't know what they're going to do in that. They have to re-sign Nedeljkovic. He would become a free agent again. I think it's a one-year deal he got. So if that's the case, he may look elsewhere too, unless he's anointed a starter. It could be sort of a Mason Rudolph situation all over again. All right, Eric, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. We're going to take a break. We're just getting started here till 1 o'clock. Keep in mind, Dan Zangrilli will be here. That'll be today at 3 for the North Shore Tavern leadoff show, followed by the Pirates and the Orioles, game 2 of the series. We got a lot of going on. 1 o'clock, Penguins and Lightning, and then the Pirate game at 4 tonight at 7. It's the Riverhounds at home against the Tampa Bay Rowdies. Riverhounds off to a slow start, but they got to get it together, and this is their 25th season, and it's an anniversary season for them. I'm Bob Pompiani, live here at Nemacolin Resort, waiting for Lee Trevino, who's going to be a special guest here today. That's all coming up. In the meantime, we'll take a break. Back with more right here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back, everyone. We roll along here on a very busy sports day. Bob Pompiani with you. Lee Trevino will be up here at Nemacolin Woodlands. I'm hosting a Q&A with him tonight for all the members and guests at Nemacolin. And there's a very special podcast, Chasing Birdies. It'll be a podcast that you can hear next Thursday, day one of the Masters, with Lee Trevino, a man who's had 6 major wins in his career. And they call him the Merry Mex. He's always a fun guy to be around, and he'll be here throughout the day. In the meantime, 412-928-9370 is the number to call. Hit me up on Twitter. It's at KDPomp. We're talking about the Penguins, a big game today against Tampa Bay. And the Penguins have been invited, and they've said, thank you very much. We'll accept the invitation back into the playoff chase. In fact, by the end of tonight, ladies and gentlemen, they could be in the playoffs and controlling their own destiny. Would you have said that just a couple of weeks ago? Likely not. But here they are, because the Flyers have lost 6 in a row. The Capitals have lost 5 in a row. Jake Guentzel, by the way, had a lot to do with that last night. 2 goals, 26 and 27 for the Carolina Hurricanes. And for my money, they're going to be the team that emerges out of the Eastern Conference. They got a lot of things going. Goaltending, obviously, whoever gets the hottest goaltending is going to have a big advantage here. But I think their team is just as good as any team in the Eastern Conference. Penguins, Tampa today. Later today, it's going to be the Pirates and the Orioles. You'll hear it right here, beginning with Dan Zangrilli and the North Shore Tavern leadoff show. That's at 3, game at 4. And then tonight over at Highmark Stadium, it is the Riverhounds and Tampa Bay. Meantime, let's go back to the lines. Neil in Butler joins us. What's up, Neil? How are you?
Bob, hello, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, how are you, Bob?
I'm good, thanks. What's going on?
Okay. All right. Baseball. Real quick, how many pitchers sign long-term deals at around age 30 that pan out? And probably my guess is the same as yours, not many. Like the 8-year deals at age 30 or the 10-year deal, you know, they don't work out. Well, my point is,
it's not just with pitchers, it's with any player. I mean, we've seen, you know, position players who, you know, 8 years into it or on a 10-year deal like Pujols did or others. You know, it's normally not worth the effort to me.
Right. So this gets to my point. Okay, we see Jared Jones, who was drafted in 2020, second round pick. All right, in the following year, Anthony Solomato, both out of high school, they're about 8 months apart as far as age goes, Solomato being 8 months a little bit younger. Now, I would like to see what Solomato does between now and the beginning of June, because last year he showed in the minor leagues numbers that he is ready for the bigs. If he continues to show that in the first couple months this year, I don't see, because this team will not make a real true run with the pitching that they have. The hitting I'm not worried about, but they have no pitching depth at all, especially with Bailey Falter. You know, we don't even have a third or fourth starter. And I think the best years of a pitcher sometimes can be from 22 to 30, and that gets them through arbitration. Then the free agency hits around 29 or 30. So I'm not worried about 29 or 30 when at that age of a pitcher. You know, I would really like to see Solomato and Skeens, if they do well in their first 2 months up here. And then you're looking at Jared Jones and the other two. The problem will be in September, how many innings do they rack up?
That's always an issue. They have another guy, too, Bubba Chandler. He pitched last night in Altoona, 3 1/3, 4 strikeouts, 2 runs. But Skeens was terrific yesterday. For those who missed it, 3 more shutout innings. He has now 6 innings, 1 hit allowed, 11 strikeouts down there in AAA in 6 innings.
Right. The Bubba Chandler thing that I would say, though, is like when he came out of high school, it was like he wanted to possibly go to Clemson as a quarterback. So I wonder how much he worked on his craft. So that's why I didn't bring him up as far as is he further along in his craft as Anthony Solomator or Jared Jones was at the same time in their development as far as coming out of high school. You know, same with Lonnie White is another one,
right.
But he's a hitter.
Neil, I will tell you this, and thank you for the call, man. The team has potentially really good players down there all the way through. It's all potential at this point. We're seeing some of it with Jones right now. Solomento is a guy who I think could be that way. Maybe not right now, but he is on his way. Another guy you haven't mentioned that I would like to see is Quinn Priester. You know, number one pick, high hopes for him, but he didn't, you know, it takes time. Not everyone is going to come up and look the part like Jared Jones so far has looked in two starts. Some guys really struggled. Tyone struggled. Cole didn't even come up in his first year. You look at some of the other guys they've had around here, hit and miss. Tyler Glasnow took forever to get his treads, and it didn't happen until afterwards. But, you know, they're in a pretty good place right now. But that doesn't mean you can't bring in more people. I think Baltimore's a good example when you look at it. Corbin Burnes, a former Cy Young Award winner, they wanted to add him to a very young rotation. He's kind of the guy who's going to be the glue to it, you would think. So I think another guy we haven't talked about so far is Martin Perez. He's been really good, solid guy for two outings so far for the Pirates, and he's had success on this level. Thanks for the call. We got some breaking news in here, too. The Cleveland Guardians, their ace, Shane Bieber, no relation to Justin, I don't think so. He's set to have season-ending Tommy John surgery. That dude can bring it, and that's a big loss for Cleveland because Shane Bieber has emerged as one of the better pitchers, obviously, in this game. But you see that a lot with players and guys coming back. Brubaker was the guy coming back, and they traded him. I was a little surprised by that, by the Pirates, a few weeks ago. I didn't see that trade coming. I thought he was going to be a player who could be up here midway through this season and certainly help them. But if Skeens does what you expect him to do, and again, not everything's going to be this smooth, by the way, and even Jared Jones, you know, he's going to have his problems. They all do. You go through stretches up here. But if he, those two and Keller can get it together, down the road, there are some other guys. I mentioned Priester. I hope he gets up here and I hope he has a chance to do some good things. That's been their one weak spot going into this, an obvious weak spot. I think the hitting is going to be okay. We've seen evidence of that, although not so much yesterday. The meat of the order went 0-16. They couldn't get a hit. But you know, a guy like Cruz, you saw what he can do and you expect that to pan out through an entire season. Health is a big concern, of course, if he does that. Hayes got a couple of more hits yesterday. I think Brian Reynolds is fine. I think Henry Davis off to a slower start, but I also think because he's catching every day now, it's a little bit a lot on his plate, right? And he's trying to deal with all of that. But this is a good team, Baltimore, and you'll see two more good pitchers here this weekend, and the Pirates would love to get a good effort tonight from Bailey Falter. Again, that game coming up at 4 o'clock. In the meantime, I want to throw out the Masters, you know, again, just because it's next week. If you have a take on who you may like, John Rahm's looking to be a repeat winner. Can he do it? He took it away from Koepka, who was looking for a sixth major last year, and it looked like he was going to get that sixth, and then Rahm got hot. Let me know if you call in here at 412-928-9370. You want to give me your Masters take a week ahead of time, because when I join you next, it'll be all the way through two rounds. Steven in Glassport is our next caller. Hey, Steven, welcome to the Bob Pompeiani Show. How are you?
Good. How about you, Bob?
Good, thanks.
I think, by the way, happy birthday.
It's not yet, but I got to savor every day
I think, before I get to another year.
You know, I don't want to keep giving these years away here, Steven.
Yeah, I think the Pirates should be good today. I think they're going to be decent. At least it wasn't cold like it was yesterday. It was like, my friend went down there. He said it was freezing down there. They left after it started raining. So I think they should do good today than they did yesterday. I think they're going to be... I think the Penguins probably won't be. If they're going to be in the playoffs, they need to do better today.
Okay. Well, I mean, I would say split the next two. Realistically, Steven, that would be my goal if I'm them. They want to win every game. But if you can get 2 points out of Tampa and Toronto, two teams that are really good and two teams that are fighting for that third spot in their division, that would be good because you do have head-to-heads coming up against Detroit and the Islanders. And then between those two games, you have Nashville and Boston. So, but if these other teams continue to fall apart as they have, then the Penguins are going to be in a situation where they can probably very easily control their fate here by the end of the day today or early next week. And that's all you would ask, given where they were and how they were playing. So it looks like Nedeljkovic in goal today. against Vasilevskiy. Mike Sullivan should be speaking here, or maybe already has. Joel or Matt, you can find out if that were the case, but I can't imagine him going away from Nedeljkovic, who's 5-0-1, 934 save percentage and a 197 goals against in his last six games. Fan weather, time for that right now. I want to tell you that it's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring is here, and so are the deals at Sun Chevy. It's sunchevy.com. This afternoon, you're going to see some sun, some clouds, brisk, chilly, high of 49 tonight, partly cloudy, low of 31. It's going to really warm up to the point where we may have a couple of 70-degree days next week. All right, got another hour to go at 412-928-9370. We're here today live at Nemacolo Woodlands. Lee Trevino with a big Q&A tonight. I'm anxious to talk to him and all the members and guests up here. They got a great day at their TrackMan bays at the Golf Academy. You also have the podcast from Chase and Birdies. They're going to do it, and you'll hear it next Thursday if you follow that podcast. And you should. It's very good with a lot of local golf stuff as well. Plus a long drive competition and everything else going on right here at the Golf Academy at Nemacolo. And I'm Bob Pompeiani. Hour two on the way. This is Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.